This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like expecting the leadership of a team captain on the football field, but getting a sea captain. You wouldn't settle for just anything for your team. Shouldn't it be the same for your insurance? So don't settle for just any insurance when you can go with a leader. State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
UnitedHealthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at UnitedHealthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
As we go a little something like this.
This is The Rich Eisen Show, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Terry killed the injured dolphin.
It was a dislocation.
Earlier on the show, quarterback consultant Jordan Palmer. Coming up, three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth from Hulu's Chad Powers, Glenn Powell and Michael Waldron. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
We are on the air here on Disney Plus, the ESPN app everywhere, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance here on this Tuesday. And as we are talking right now, within mere moments, the postseason in Major League Baseball 2025 season is getting underway. All four wild card games today, all wild card games available on ESPN and families of networks.
Must be nice.
Tigers and Guardians going at it in Cleveland, where nobody thought they would be going at it in October. And the Yankees and the Red Sox having at it tonight at 6 Eastern time. That'll be something you and I, Chris, will be highly interested in.
Very locked.
So I wanted to get out of the way before New England hated me again. Talking about how well Drake May is playing. As I said yesterday, I had no idea that take was going to go places. It's the truth, though. I mean, Jaden Daniels is hurt. J.J. McCarthy is hurt. Penix is up and down. Bo Nix, prior to last night, we were waiting to see a game similar to what Bo Nix did last night, and he finally came through with it. And Caleb Williams, as we know, has been up, and he's also been down. And Drake May has been nothing but pointed straight up. And to talk about that and so much more, a man who is calling that game on Fox, man who hosts the Stinkin' Truth podcast, wherever you get your podcast, Mark Schlereth, back here on the program. Good to see you, Mark. How are you, sir?
Mark.
Good to see you.
I'm doing good, Rich. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine. I mean, you saw Drake May with your own two eyes. I said he's the most improved player and playing the best out of everybody from last year's draft class. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's playing great. And, you know, you can say whatever you want about offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels as a head coach, but as a coordinator, man, that guy has got his guys dialed in. And he is, you know, talking to him about Drake May, like the one insatiable appetite for information, really is smart, can apply it on the football field. And they've just cleaned it up. It's about the process. It's about the operation pre-snap. And then it's about how quickly can you read the defense and make the correct decision. The biggest issue that he had going into the last weekend was 12 sacks taken. And those are things to me, Rich, that sacks taken are more a quarterback-driven statistic than they are an offensive line statistic, because of the way the game is played today, so much outside the numbers, so many bubble screens, swing passes, so much quick game, that if you take a lot of sacks, it's more on you as a quarterback than it is on the rest of the offense in general, sometimes on the play caller as well. So cleaning that up last weekend, it was great. And I praised him because he scrambled outside the pocket. He's about 4 yards behind line of scrimmage. And before he stepped out of bounds, he threw it. And I was like, as an offensive lineman, man, I was like a proud father, because that goes on our statistics as a sack, right? And so I was just like, good for you. Everybody in that offensive line room is going to be very excited about the decision you just made to throw that thing away, as opposed to stepping out of bounds and taking a sack and having that tally up against us as a group.
Yeah, I mean, and again, just the way that he energizes by throwing it in, running it in, and where do you think the Patriots can go from here? Obviously, the division is one thing, and we will see them Sunday night in Buffalo. That is a big game, maybe making my eat my words a little bit by just basically saying this could be a wild card mission for New England at 2-2. That's right in the mix with Denver, obviously behind Jacksonville, who you've also seen in person, Mark. Where do you think New England can go from 2-2 right now, which is what the Chiefs are as well, Mark?
I said this going into the broadcast. I said, you know what? It's all about self-inflicted wounds with the New England Patriots. And, you know, they had missed 35 tackles going into week four last weekend. So they'd missed 35 tackles. They were 29th in pass coverage. They turned the ball over five times against the Pittsburgh Steelers and barely lost that game. And one of my assessments was, if this team cleans those things up with the way their quarterback is playing right now, they're a wild card football team. They're physical. They can run the ball. And I'm telling you, their passing game is going to get better and better and better. And because they have two tight ends that have duality, Rich, they've got Henry and they've got Hooper. And both those guys can block. Both those guys are skilled receivers. Like, they have a matchup issue for any defense they play. You've got to make a decision. Are we going to play them small in nickel? Are we going to play them big in base? And because both those guys can block, you know, we've gotten to this kind of thought process in the National Football League, which I hate, is tight ends, as long as they can split out and run routes, that's all we really care about. They don't need to block people, which is a bunch of garbage. And so when you have a guy that has the ability to do both, that has that versatility, and they have two of them, man, what an advantage that is to your offense. And that personnel grouping is their best personnel grouping, especially down by the red zone. And, I mean, they just showed it. They showed it last weekend against Carolina, and I think they've got a chance to be a wild card playoff team.
Well, speaking of mistake prone, below the division line right now in the AFC East of the Jets at 0-4, and I'm sure you were watching that Monday night game with keen interest, because your next game on Fox is Dolphins at Carolina, who you just saw in New England as well, Mark. But the number of mistakes the Jets made on the offensive line pre-snap and all of that stuff, I lost track. And how do you fix that? How is an offensive line or coaching staff, can stuff like that be fixed without, I guess, threatening people's jobs, Mark?
Yeah, the very beginning, the first drive they were in, I mean, they were just shoving it down the throats of the Miami Dolphins. And I looked at that and said, even though they came away with the fumble by Allen, I'm like, dude, if you adhere to that philosophy, like, you're going to win this game. And, you know, I think sometimes just in coaching in general, we just like to make it harder than it is. And I think the biggest thing, especially when you've got a lot of new moving parts, which you do with play callers and quarterbacks and, you know, players in general, offensive line members, is you try to game plan certain situations. You try to make it, you know, more complicated than it needs to be. And when you make a lot of pre-snap penalties, when you make a lot of mistakes, then it becomes like, we have got to simplify things. There used to be a song, a country song I used to like back, this is all the way back to when I was playing, by Neil McCoy, called Small Up and Simple Down. Like, that to me is one of the best things you can do as an offense, especially when you're making a lot of pre-snap penalties. You have got to make it as simple as possible and just say, hey, we're going to line up and we're going to physically just throw it down your throat, and there's nothing you can do about it. And we're not going to be complicated. We're not going to be, you know, in and out of personnel groupings and in and out of formations and motioning across and shifting guys. If we can't handle it, if we're not smart enough to handle it, like, and you have to know that as a coach, if we're not smart enough to handle it, then you've got to be the ones that simple it down. And like, if you put your team in a position, or put a player in a position to fail. Don't be surprised when he fails. You're the dumbass that put him there. So clean it up, simplify it, and then, you know, you can actually survive some of those things when you do that and you eliminate those pre-snap penalties.
Well, I mean, does that have something to do with, again, this may be apples and oranges, Jordan Mailata of the Eagles talking about that they're breaking the huddle too late in Philadelphia?
Sure.
You know, we're all talking about what's wrong with the Eagles' run game and then what's wrong with the pass game. They are 4-0. Yada, yada, right. Yada. But is that something that he's referring to in Philadelphia with their offense?
Mark? Yeah. When you break the huddle, like probably somewhere around 12 seconds is where most teams break the huddle. I've talked to two quarterbacks in the last 2 weeks that have told me, man, if we can get out of the huddle with 18 seconds left on the clock, how much of just having that extra 6 seconds, what that does for me as a quarterback as far as surveying the landscape, understanding what they're trying to do to me, where they're playing leverage, you know, who's going to be open, what kind of coverage they're in, like those things. And then when you start to motion and move guys around, all the different things that happen, you start getting into a situation where you feel hurried, you feel rushed as you're getting up the line of scrimmage. And then everybody, like, it's not just the quarterback. I mean, as a offensive lineman, man, I wanted to walk up the line of scrimmage and see, hey, man, what front are they in? Are the linebackers kicked over? So one of the things I always thought about with linebackers in general, you know where guys are supposed to line up based upon the defense that they present to you, the defensive front. So if the linebackers, what we used to call boss over, which boss is backers over strong, or if the backers move to the weak side, and they were out of position even by a foot or a foot and a half. As an offensive lineman, I would know, okay, if they're bossed over strong, what are we going to get? We're going to get weak side safety rotation. That safety on the weak safety is going to come down, and they're going to play, you know, a middle of the field closed defense. I want to know that stuff because it affects the way, you know, my blocking angles and my blocking schemes and who we're going to as far as getting to second level defenders in the run game. It affects the way we talk about that. Well, all of a sudden, if you run up there late and you don't have time to communicate that stuff, you're not going to be as good. So, yeah, time on the clock and getting out of the huddle efficiently. And sometimes that's why a lot of teams, Rich, will like to play some tempo occasionally, because with tempo, you're always out of the huddle. You're not in the huddle. You're always out on the line of scrimmage, you know, at 18, 19 seconds.
Well, what do you think Zach Taylor's thinking today for the Bengals after the Monday nighter where it seemed to have no protection up front long enough for Jake Browning to find his guys, or when he did have time, his guys weren't open defensively? You tip your cap to Denver, I understand. But what do you think about the offensive line protection, what Zach Taylor can do?
Well, I mean, I hate the way they're structured offensively. I always have. And, you know, there's a reason that Joe Burrow is always hurt. It's because you don't protect him. And how do you protect guys? Well, I can guarantee you one way that you don't protect a guy is when you sit in shotgun 95% of the time, that eliminates 30, 40% of your run game. You get into shotgun, you don't have a run game. You get in shotgun and like, let's say you're in a strong right for a right-handed formation, like tight ends on the right. If the running back is lined up to the tight end side, so that he's lined up in, you know, if you're in gun near, he's near the tight end, mm-hmm. right? You're running opposite the tight end. So if he's in a right-hand formation, 65, 70% of your runs go to the left. If you're in gun far, so you've got the quarterback and, you know, and the running back's here now, and you're gun far, well, then guess what? 65, 70% of your runs go to the tight end. So you're either running strong or you're running weak, and you're running mid zone. It's really like there's very few plays that you can really run out of gun formation. So first off, you know, your run game gets eliminated by 35, 40%, whatever it is. And then on top of that, your play action game, because you don't turn your back to the defense. So your play action game isn't nearly as effective when you're always in shotgun. That's why I'm a believer. You've got to play some. I'm not saying you have to play everything, but you've got to play some out of under center. You got to get your quarterback in there under center. And like the structure of their offense sucks. In my, like, you make your quarterback play on the high dive, 99 out of 99 play, or 99 out of 100 plays, he's got to be on the high dive at all times. And I hate that. I hate that as an offensive player. I hate that what that does to an offensive line. Obviously, they haven't been able to keep any of their quarterbacks healthy, or Joe Burrow healthy, over the course of his entire career. So that's an offensive structure issue as far as I'm concerned.
Mark Schlereth, the stinking truth, to say the least, right here. And that's the name of his podcast on The Rich Eisen Show. Through 4 weeks, Mark, before I let you go here on this Monday, the team we're not talking about enough. Could be 1-3 with a chance to come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Could be 2-2, could be 3-1. Obviously, well, there's only two 4-0 teams right now, but who are you not talking about enough, Mark?
I'll tell you, Rich, I was so excited to watch the demise of the Kansas City Chiefs. So excited. And, you know, and I was poking the bear and I was sending things out on social media like, hey, the record when they were 0-2, I had the record up, you know, and it was glorious for a time. It was just absolutely like I had found the cure for ED. It was the Chiefs struggling. And now all of a sudden I watch them play Baltimore and. You know, I said it last week on the Stinking Truth podcast. Like, there was nothing they'd done well. They can't block anybody. They won't run the ball. Patrick Mahomes doesn't look like the same guy. They don't have a deep threat. All of a sudden, Worthy comes back. They're throwing it over the top of the defense's head. They're running the ball. They're protecting Mahomes. All of a sudden, Travis Kelce's open again. Like, I just was like, I watched that game, and my heart sunk. I'm like, oh, shoot. You know, the demise of the Kansas City Chiefs was probably vastly overstated, and they look like they are ready and poised to chase down that division crown again, which makes me want to vomit because I was celebrating. I just celebrated too early. That was the problem, Rich. I celebrated too early.
That there might be a pill for premature celebration.
I need something.
I had no idea that you were looking for the cure of Eric Dickerson. I had no idea. but you listen, man, the Chiefs are going to get Rashee Rice back in 2 weeks, too. That's a great Monday night game, too. The Jaguars against the Chiefs here on the ESPN family of networks. Mark, that is going to be a big one, to say the least.
Hey, the Jacksonville Jaguars are playing great. And how about our guy Liam Cohen going after defensive coordinator Robert Saleh?
Do you want to break that down for my audience before I let you go? Like, what are they for people who are like, what are they arguing about? Yeah. Why are they angry at each other? Like, give me the insight here, Mark.
Robert Saleh basically accused Liam Cohen of some secret sign stealing. You know, like, you know, I don't know how they do it. And it referenced back, I think, all the way to the Rams when Liam Cohen was with the Rams. And so he had said that in a press conference or whatever, and Liam Cohen took offense to it. And then, you know, after the game, basically told him to keep.
He called it legal, though. He said a legal sign stealing operation.
Yeah. Okay, illegal signs. But anyhow, Xerxes, you can see him right there. Xerxes was not happy. He was not happy about that. He was just like, apologize to your God and kneel down, and you will be forgiven, Liam Cohen. And Xerxes was pissed out because Liam Cohen said, keep your name out of my name out of your mouth. And then Xerxes went off on him. And I think Liam Cohen's lucky they held him back. It was like one of them baseball fights. Like, I always thought about this, Rich, baseball fight. You know, bench clearing brawl, and both bullpens run out side by side. Shouldn't you just cold cock somebody right there instead of running all the way down to the fight? Like you shouldn't get one guy, right? One guy should just rock across there and just absolutely sucker punch a dude, right? If we're going to fight, let's fight right when we get out of the bullpen. Why are we going to run 45
yards? On the track, right? Yeah.
I've never understood it. Liam Cohen had that. He was like, walked by him, said something under his breath, and then got four guys to hold him back. Like, hold me back. I think Xerxes would have kicked his ass. That's what I think.
Xerxes. I had no idea. I had to look him up from
300. 300,
yeah.
Does he not look like Xerxes?
I'm looking at the actual time in which the real Xerxes lived.
He's like 8 feet tall.
Well, apparently. No. Look at the movie. He is dead ringer. I'm not Robert Saleh may have played. I don't know. I haven't looked whether he was on the credits for that movie or not, but he is Xerxes.
Ladies and gentlemen, resemble each other.
Mark Schlereth, everybody.
King of
awesome.
Persia.
Great chat with you as always. Have a great cast on Fox, Dolphins and the Panthers.
I appreciate it. You going out to London? Europe?
Next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow. I'll be heading off to London. Yeah, doing Broncos Jets and then Rams Jaguars, nice. Which could truly be quite a stake, to say the least, the way everyone's been playing. So,
well, you know what they say out there in London. Throw another shrimp on the Bobby, Rich. All right, I got to get it.
Ladies and gentlemen, mixing metaphors. There might be a pill for that as well. Mark Schlereth. And on the Rich Eisen Show, the Stinking Truth Pox.
Mark Schlereth, a.k.a. Fat Rob Lowe.
Fat Rob Lowe. Xerxes. That was funny. Thought he found the cure.
Eric Dickerson. Yeah.
Hey, nice. Man, good. I told you, good. Higher registered. I think the Chiefs have turned the corner.
Yeah.
Dude, that was funny. Funny.
DGAF.
That's true.
And I think we're here.
For I know. Yeah, that's why everyone, that's why he's great at what he does. And I do love listening to him on Fox as well. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll come back. Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Glenn Powell, Mr. Chad Powers himself in studio, hour three.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
For a limited time at McDonald's, get a Big Mac extra value meal for $8. That means two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun, and medium fries and a drink. We may need to change that jingle.
Prices and participation may vary.
Experience a membership that backs what you're building with American Express Business Platinum. Enjoy complimentary access to the American Express Global Lounge Collection and a welcome offer of 200,000 points after you spend $20,000 on purchases on the card within your first 3 months of membership. American Express Business Platinum. There's nothing like it. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-platinum.
Back here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. The Tigers taking a 1-0 lead in the first inning.
Game over.
Well, Tarek Skubal then retired the side 3 in a row. But retired the side 1-2-3 in the first inning. You're giving voice to what playoff baseball is all about.
It's so tense.
Because when one person gets on base in like May, you're like, okay, leadoff runner's on. In October, you're like, season's over.
Yep.
Right now, there's definitely some Guardian fans sitting in there going, well, it was a nice run.
Do I dare text Andrew Siciliano and see how he's doing?
No. But that's playoff baseball, man. Playoff baseball. Looks like a beautiful day there in Cleveland, Ohio. Before we get to Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday, let's talk about the Jets, who I'm seeing in London in a couple weeks' time. An absolute disaster of a start for Aaron Glenn. There's no other way to put it. With all due respect, one of the few coaches you want to be in the same sentence with to start your career as a Jet is Adam Gase, and this is not the Michigan fan in me, Lou Holtz.
Oh.
Lou Holtz did coach the Jets.
For a second.
You know, and I'm sure he was sitting there going, well, you can't keep on the Dolphins. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm truly, he can coach. They both started 0-4, Gase and Holtz. No Jet coach has ever started 0-5. And last night, the Jets get a great first drive, march right down the field. Braylon Allen, their young stud running back alongside Breece Hall. I think, is Allen old enough to drink now or vote? I don't know. I think he is finally. He goes in for the score and fumbles. The Jets now have the worst turnover margin in the NFL at -7. They had, I think I wrote it down here, a billion pre-snap penalties, tons of mistakes, just absolute tons of mistakes. Why don't you hit Breece Hall first? because this is the quote of the century. I mean, it kind of sums it up. And you hear what Breece Hall had to say after this loss, where the Jets had a chance to win despite all of the mistakes at the very end, and obviously couldn't get it done, to fall to 0-4 for the first time since 2020. Let's just put it this way, Breece kind of sticks the landing on the soundbite.
We're doing everything we can to pretty much lose the game right now, so it's literally just a matter of us not making dumb mistakes. Well, we have 11, 12 penalties today. Like, you ain't ever going to win the game, and we still almost won the game. So, like, been dealing with it for, like, 4 years. So it was frustrating, bro, but it is what it is. Just got to come back and keep getting better. It's just a tale of, you know, 3 out of our 4 losses. You know, teams will shoot themselves in the foot, then we come back and shoot ourselves in the head.
I mean, that pretty much sums it up. Oof. Some shoot ourselves in the foot. We do that, but then we come back and shoot ourselves in the head. Because, you know, 0-4 is basically a kill shot. Mm-hmm. Aaron Glenn had this to say after the game.
Very disappointing. Very disappointing. And there's no way you can win any game with 13 penalties and 3 turnovers. It just can't happen. But what we have to do is go back to work. You know, we have to go back. That's the only way that we can fix them. Really take a look at these penalties. Take a look at these turnovers and make sure we understand that we have to understand before you can win games, you have to learn how not to lose games. And we have to do a better job in that case. And we will. We will. And again, the only way to do that is go back to work. But listen, I'm not losing hope in our guys at all, you know, and I'm telling you now, we just got to go back to work. That's all we can do. That's all we can do.
Listen, I don't blame him for taking that approach. There are some guys to lean on in there. Guy, Garrett Wilson is so good. He's so good. That the touchdown that he had called back because they said he pushed off, and then the touchdown that stood.
Mm-hmm.
Very few wide receivers can do this sort of thing. And he's got 9 straight games now with 50 or more receiving yards with the quarterbacks that he's had.
Impressive.
You know, 2 already this year. Last year, as we know, he had Rodgers, and he also had a ton of moving parts on the coaching staff. The 9 straight games with 50 or more receiving yards, there's only one receiver with a longer active such streak, and his name is Puka Nacua. That's how good this guy is. Okay. And there's other players that are good. It's just collectively not working right now because others are green and others are, I don't know, not healthy or not focused. I don't know what it is, other than the fact it looks terrible. And Aaron Glenn saying as he's running off to the locker room after that half, we're down just 7 and, you know, we get the ball first. So we're going to fix some things in the locker room, and then we're going to come out and we're going to play better. And then Isaiah Williams takes the opening kickoff and fumbles it the second half. So it's very simple. And I'm wondering again, you know, which Jets team I'm going to see in London. Am I going to see one coming off of a win against the Cowboys, which would be big, and prevent Aaron Glenn from strolling into the pre-broadcast meeting we're going to have with the Jets in London as an first ever 0-5 head coach in the history of the New York Jets, which is something he does not deserve? Or will they be 1-4 and feeling a little bit better about themselves? I don't know, but it's a very simple question that will be germane regardless if it's 0-5 or 1-4. If you're on the Jets roster, you have to look yourselves in the mirror and say to yourself, do I want to play for the Jets and Aaron Glenn in New York, or do I not? It really is just that simple. Do you like living in the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area playing professional football for a guy like Aaron Glenn, or do you not? Because if you do not really want to commit to that for whatever your reason, speak now and sit your behind on the bench, or you're going to get cut. It's just that simple. The coaching staff appears to know exactly what it is doing. And again, I know Jet fans, some of you might be sitting there thinking, we have taken a coordinator from a defensive side of the ball of a winning organization before. And we trusted in that guy, and he's now back being a defensive coordinator. Throwing down with Liam Cohen verbally. We've been down this road before. But Aaron Glenn is a Jet from professional birth. Parcells drafted him. And we saw what he did in Detroit. So you got to sit there and wonder, it's just like, do I want to let this guy down? Or do I want to lift him up? Do I trust what he is selling? Because I'll sell it to everyone else in the locker room. And if that requires more focus pre-snap during the week or whatever, then you got to do it. But other than that, you got to make your decision. Do you want to play for this guy or not? Because I'm imagining they're not going to fire this guy, even if you falls to 0-6 coming out of London, which is entirely a possibility right now, which would be highly unfortunate. Guy doesn't deserve it. I think he's better than what we're seeing and can coach. You want to play for the Jets in New York for Aaron Glenn, New Jersey, or not? Simple question. Don't know the answer to it. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. It's Overreaction Monday. On a Tuesday, you know what we're going to do here? I'm going to take a phone call, and we're going to take a break. Then we'll get a little bit more runway to use the Jet phrase. I just kind of Omaha'd it. Up. I kind of Omaha'd it right here on the program. Let's go. I'll bite on this one. Nate in Denver. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Nate?
Hey, Rich. Always a pleasure. How are you?
What's going on, sir?
All right, real quick. Two things. One, have you ever noticed that every NFL head coach has deleted the Weather Channel app from their phone? Last night, 87 degrees, South Florida, Mike McDaniels, hoodie and sweatpants. I'm
okay.
Just saying.
Okay.
That's number one.
But Nate, they were... Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
Go ahead.
I'll take it one at a time. What's your two?
Number two, listen, I hate to sound like Brockman here, but every game, the more snaps Micah Parsons plays, the worse the Packers defense gets.
Oh, wow. Nate.
Shh.
Come on, is that an overreaction Monday subject matter?
You just wait till after
Are you
the
serious?
Break. Just wait till after the break.
Okay. Shh. Okay. So we'll put a pin in that, and I won't respond to it here. I'll respond to it on Overreaction Monday
on
a Tuesday.
Please just
pause. Nate, you're gonna have to stay for that one. And the other thing too is Mike McDaniel was wearing capri pants. So his calves were breathing.
Yeah.
Which I think means that he's definitely looked at the Weather Channel. Thanks for the call, Nate.
Wait, TJ, I missed it. What did he have for shoes last night?
You know, that's
usually
a good question.
He has serious drip on the sideline.
I didn't even pay attention yesterday.
All right. Derek in Missouri. Let's take one of our longtime listeners. What's up, Derek?
Hey, Rich. How are you doing this
What's
morning?
Going on?
Oh, well, it's Victory Monday on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
It was, I'd say, I don't know if it was really much of a statement win last night, but it was a move in forward progress type of win last night, despite what we had the last 2 weeks. It was nice to get a 100-run rushing game from Dobbins, our first one since the time of the dinosaurs, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
But nice to see R.J. Harvey get that first touchdown.
Yep.
And now things look promising, much better compared to the last 2 weeks. Hopefully we can keep it up. But we got, as you say in the sports talk business, we got a tall order coming up against Philadelphia. And before last night's game, we were 5.5 point underdogs, and after the win last night, now we're 3.5, so okay. Maybe we have a shot.
Well, again,
if anything, we just got about slinging.
Thanks, Derek. Appreciate the call. You should feel good about your Broncos. Again, 2-2, yep. And the division is being led by somebody that you lost on the road to at the last second, so you're going to feel good when they're coming back into your house. And will they have Khalil Mack back then? I don't know. The Chargers, let me get this actually spot on here. It's the final game of the year for them. So Khalil Mack could be back. Joe Alt might have just a high ankle sprain as opposed to anything that ends his season. But listen, bottom line is you look at the rest of the conference, you have to be concerned if you face the Bills again in Buffalo. Certainly if that's the final run that you're going to have at Highmark, you're probably going to have to face them in the divisional round this time. You're not going to see Buffalo in a wild card round. Buffalo looks like they're going to steam their way to maybe the top seed in the conference. And so if it's a wild card or the division, you got to feel good about it. The question is what happens in October. I mean, October, pardon me. I'm looking at playoff baseball at the same time. What happens in January? Because you've gotten postseason experience the previous year. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. We come back, Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Does it ever feel like you're a marketing professional just
speaking into the void?
But with LinkedIn ads, you can know you're reaching the right decision makers, a network of 130 million of them, in fact. You can even target buyers by job title, industry, company, seniority, skills, and did I say job title? See how you can avoid the void and reach the right buyers with LinkedIn ads. Spend $250 on your first campaign and get a free $250 credit for the next one. Get started at linkedin.com/campaign. Terms and conditions apply.
Brooks Running reminds us that we're all powered by something. Whether it's the me time energy of a run after a day at the office, the electrifying energy of your first marathon, or the infectious energy of a group run with your friends. No matter what energy powers you, Brooks has gear specifically designed to unleash it. So lace up and let it out. Let's run there. Visit brooksrunning.com today to learn more.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. They make the claims process easy so you can get back on the road in no time. It's why over 43 million drivers trust Progressive. See for yourself at progressive.com. Okay, it's a Tuesday. It's time for Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
All right, Christopher.
Hey, everybody. You guys good?
We are great. And I'm still just as good or fine or well as I was when we recorded Overreaction Monday podcast before our Monday show. And you can get the full-on version of this. Wherever you get your podcasts or our YouTube channel.
Please do.
What do you got?
Still thinking about Sunday night, TJ. The tie. I still can't get over that we do ties in professional sports and the amount of money that's going on with this thing. And I know Kevin Durant has my back on this, so I'm going to throw it out there. The NFL should adopt the college overtime rules. It's way more fun. Way more exciting, and we get a guaranteed winner.
And it removes special teams from the game. Sorry.
Well, you've already done that by giving a team the possession.
Ask the Dallas Cowboys if they want special teams removed from the ability to win a football game in overtime. How about you, TJ? Do you like saying your kicker doesn't have to have anything to do with it?
That would mean that Brandon Aubrey would have no say?
That's correct.
No, I don't like that.
Exactly.
We're eliminating the tie.
But you're also eliminating a phase of the game. That's why I don't like college football's overtime.
We've already eliminated the phase by having each team get a possession.
I saw some of the comments because guess what? Guess what? I sometimes do read the comments. I let it roll off my back amongst other people, which is why I can read them. I saw my opinion on just adding five more minutes onto the overtime. Time rule. They're like, just adopt college. And then, or have after a while, field goal kickers just come out and kick field goals with no rush until one misses.
You decide the World Cup that way. What's the difference?
And that sucks too. What can I tell you? There's going to be no perfect response to this other than the fact that the college football overtime rules removes kicking from the game. And Brandon Aubrey, you know what he's also becoming a weapon at right now? Not just a field goal, this dynamic kickoff. He is the king of bouncing it in the landing zone and making you catch it in the end zone.
Yep.
So you've got to start from the 20, which is a massive advantage.
He's a weapon for us.
He is indeed. And you're removing Brandon Aubrey from the game pretty much with this stuff. I call this an overreaction. I know I might be in the minority.
Larry David has my back, too. He hates kickers.
Larry David hates kickers. That's correct.
Hates kickers. He has my back.
Okay.
It finally happened on Sunday in Las Vegas, guys. I know we were all excited and waiting for it. Ashton Gentry had the breakout we were waiting for.
Finally.
He's going to finish in the top five in rushing yards this year.
Amongst rookies or amongst?
No, amongst the whole kit and caboodle. He doubled his output on the season in one game. Last year, fifth in the league in rushing was Jahmyr Gibbs at 1,412 yards. Ashton Gentry is going to do that again.
How many yards does he have right now total?
He's got, what, 280?
Okay. So he only needs his 1,200 more rushing yards? I'll just say this. Like, great job. Want to see more of it. Certainly since it wins me one of my fantasy league contests.
282.
I'll just call it an overreaction. Let me see more, man. The thing that I was pleased to see is he was out there on third down for him.
More importantly, he went back to the Michael Myers stance. Anyone notice that? Yeah. First three games, this Chip Kelly hunched hands on the knees.
Good for them. They're just nothing. Like, you do you, man.
One game, Michael Myers, boom, he's back.
Okay. Whatever works. You're 1-3. Let's keep it going.
Into it.
Let's see what happens.
They got to go to Indy this week.
They got to go to Indianapolis. Just don't turn it over. That would be helpful.
It's good advice.
What else you got, Chris?
Here's the thing.
Maca.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Jones won the Michael Parsons trade. Like, I think we need to be honest about this. I think we need to have a real conversation. Like, I make fun of Jerry Jones for being old and not knowing what he's doing for, like, the last 30 years. I think he nailed this one. Maca. He won this trade.
This is the very definition of overreaction.
The first time
right now.
Micah Parsons had an opportunity to shove it up Jerry's you know where, and he did not.
Well, he didn't make that tackle on Dak that would have scored a touchdown.
Yeah, where was he the other 60 plus minutes of that game?
I'll tell you
throwing
what.
Up zeros.
I'll give it up to not just the offensive line, but Brian Schottenheimer for running away from him and bootlegging away from him. There was one time where they booted into him, and I think Collinsworth called it out going, you know, how about we don't bootleg right into Micah Parsons anymore?
Yeah, right.
Jerry Jones said he can't stop the run. I didn't see him really do anything in that game except in overtime.
Dude, let's just pump the brakes on
two draft picks.
This is a hot take, one that I could see is already forming, one that I could see is not a bit for you, and I also think it's too soon. But to let's put it this way. I'll give you this. What is his major malfunction? He's totally lost it. This is totally crazy. I can't believe the Cowboys did this sort of thing. Reaction is now subsiding a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's now more room for this lane to widen. But I wouldn't drive in it just yet. What else you got over there, Chris?
Watching the Bengals play last night, one thing was abundantly clear and obvious.
Uh-huh.
We will not be seeing Joe Burrow play football until 2026.
I disagree with that.
You're going to die on this hill, aren't you?
I'm going to keep on going. It's too early,
they
Chris.
They couldn't block anyone.
Early.
It's Rich not too early.
Rich, you want to put him right there behind that line?
It's too early.
They've already gotten him hurt, three or four times in his career. Like, he's not coming back this season. They're looking at 4-13 and the number one pick in the draft.
It's too early.
You better send those refunds.
It's too early. I don't know how many times I could tell
you
how it's too early.
You're crazy, man.
It's too early. You're 2-2. Four of your next five are at home. You're only one game behind the Steelers, who are one of those teams visiting your spot.
They scored 3 points last night.
Guess what happens? If they're close enough, Burrow is not going to just sit at home saying, I'm not playing behind that offensive line. He's going to push to get back there.
No, he should absolutely be saying he's not going to play behind
that line. I understand what you're saying he should be saying, but I'm calling this just again. It's too early. It's week 5, man. And they haven't even played a game in it yet. And they're not 0-4. They're 2-2.
It feels like they're 0-4.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. And as of right now, we'll talk about it more at the top of the next hour. The Baltimore Sun is reporting that Lamar's out for 2 to 3 weeks. So there's that. The division isn't even over. Forget about the season.
Let me tell you something, if I could jump in, because of what you just said. The Pittsburgh Steelers
have
a chance.
They sure do.
They better go get, fortify their squad. I mean, it's wide open for them.
No, I agree with you there.
I agree.
What else, Chris? No doubt. I hear you.
You mentioned that there's a report that
that's not an overreaction.
The Steelers, man. That is not one.
Yours is less of an overreaction than what Chris just said.
What's a reaction I made yesterday on the
flagship
podcast? You mentioned that the report out there that Lamar could be out at least this week, maybe 2 to 3 weeks.
Well, they have a bye in 3 weeks, so the next two games.
We got injuries.
Home for Houston and home for the Rams.
Got injuries on the defensive line. Got injuries in the secondary. And I just saw a team, shut out, the Titans. I think the Texans are making the playoffs.
Oh, I don't think it's out of the realm. But just one game where they put it together against the 0-4, one of the two 0-4 teams in the league, or three, Two in their conference.
Stroud looked really efficient.
Let's see what they
distributed the ball around. Woody Marks looks like a star in the making there in their backfield.
And all the Ravens are going to hear this
week know their defense
is that they're finished. And John Harbaugh is going to whip them up. Let's see what they do. They should win this game in Baltimore if it's Cooper Rush.
Ooh, John Harbaugh's seat might be simmering.
That's ridiculous. That is absurd. Boy, you're on fire right now. Check his temperature, Mike.
Playoff baseball, Rich.
The Texans
October.
Could make the playoffs entirely possible, but right now to declare it so?
What's the point?
To declare it so, I think that's an overreaction as well. Right. They've looked terrible in the first 3 weeks. But Woody Marks is a nice, bright light right now. And if they can get the running game going and Stroud getting more balanced and he gets more protection and he could be as efficient as he was with the football as he was against the team that was first overall in the clock. I mean, the Texans are taking on the Baltimore Ravens next, and then they have a bye. They're at Seattle on a Monday night. San Francisco, Denver, Jacksonville. I mean, they'll have a chance to prove that that you're right. But at this point in time, not so much. I'll just call that an overreaction.
Lame.
Your overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. I know you got one more.
I do have one more.
Okay.
Yeah, but, we're up against it.
Well, I know we're up against it for the radio audience. So we'll keep it going on the Disney Plus ESPN app side
Stay
of things.
Tuned.
And for those on the radio, guess what? You can just go to our YouTube channel to see this entire segment or watch the show back on Disney Plus. Once again, you can get the Overreaction Monday podcast every single Monday because Chris and I record it before the show and listen to it throughout the week.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.